The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What are you doing?
Nothing. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
What?
Nothing.
How's life?
It's fine.
What happened with the money pit situation yesterday?
I haven't even dealt with it. I haven't even done anything.
Well, I thought Chris was going to... He was talking on Twitch yesterday about helping you out. He was supposed to DM you. Did he get a hold of you?
I didn't get a hold of him.
Okay. Well, did you go home and try turning the water on?
That was No, I didn't do anything. I literally didn't do anything. I left here and went to a baseball game and didn't get home until 10.
Okay.
So...
Well, I would just like to say to Chris, because I don't think he's on here yet, but when he hopped on yesterday, his first thing was, whatever you do, stop listening to Slim Fast about plumbing. Like, I said the only thing I would say is maybe try to turn the water on. That was it. Did I say anything else? I don't recall talking about cutting pipes or try this. You think I did?
Pretty sure you did talk about me installing new piping.
Yeah, no, I don't think I did. I think I said, I'm not a plumber. I don't know, but try that. Otherwise, I said, I know a plumber. What's with all the sports? I mean, it's just year-round for you. This is, I think of right now, well, I guess it is May now. I keep forgetting that.
I mean, it hasn't felt like baseball season, but it is.
Yeah, I guess it is. And that's what's keeping them busy, right, is all baseball. And who spends more time playing baseball, older son or the younger son?
The older one plays during the week and practices after school every day. But his games are during the week. The youngest plays on the weekends. So between those two, you're just busy.
But the oldest one...
He's done with high school, I think, baseball after today.
Okay, because I was going to say, he is...
This is his last game today.
...affiliated with high school baseball or whatever, which I assume they don't have in junior high, so that's...
They don't. I don't know why, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no break for you, because it goes baseball
They'll run all the way through July, then it'll go into my youngest will play football. He'll start OTAs.
Okay.
Right? So he'll do that. But during that time, he's signed up because he'll be in the eighth grade. So he's going to go work out with the high school kids and lift weights with them. So that'll be every morning at 8:30 a.m. during the summer. He's going to go do that.
And neither one of them have gotten burned out on this. Do you think it's possible that your youngest, even if he was starting to feel burned out, he would feel motivated by his older brother?
Maybe, but, you know, you try to always keep it up. You know, you want to make sure that you're not living vicariously through them.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, they do stuff because they want to make you happy.
Sure.
You want to make sure you don't do that. It's hard, but you want to make sure, like, hey, if you don't want to do this, you don't have to.
Right.
You know? But, like I said, the little one's got 3 weekends off, and he was like, can I guest play for someone? Can I go play for a different team? What am I going to do on the weekends? I want to go do something.
No, I mean, I get the impression from them that it's something they really like.
I think my oldest I don't think he loves high school baseball. I should probably say that because people listen. I don't think.
Like you're just getting that feeling?
I get the vibe that it's just different.
Okay.
You know, it's different.
I mean, it's his first school sport.
It's his second year doing it.
Right, but it's the first time he ever played.
I don't think
he loved it
the first year, and I don't think he loves it. But he knows he's going to do it.
Yeah.
He'll come home and complain about it, and I'll be like, well, you don't have to play. And he's like, I don't want to say we have that relationship because you're going to think it's weird, but it's almost like talking to a woman. And not
spouse.
In that sense, but just in this, where I'm like, well, you don't have to play. He's like, I'm just talking, man.
Right. I just need
I'm
to
just,
get
just,
off my
just
chest.
Bitching.
Yes.
I'm going to play. I'll be at practice tomorrow. Like, leave me alone. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just saying, you know. Because I want to make sure I'm not forcing you to do it.
Right.
I also want to be that dad who loves sports so much that you better play this. You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, just quit, dude. I don't care.
Yeah.
I try to, like, even though in my head, I'm like, can't quit.
Right.
But I'm like, well, just quit. I don't care. And he's like, is dinner ready?
I just imagine you being like, well, just quit. I mean, Sumpath's never played any sports, you know. Look at him. He's doing fine. Telling yourself, like, I told him he could quit. I said he could quit. I don't want him to live vicariously. But the other issue, too, is that guys want to fix problems. It takes us a long time to learn that. So we learn that, hopefully, eventually, with women. Oh, they don't want us to fix things all the time. It actually really annoys them. So
but
you
it's
kind
even
of
harder,
forget,
to, honestly, with a kid, because you're like, I want to fix this for you. And sometimes you just got to be like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, you had a bad day. Who cares?
Right.
You know.
I mean, what's different about school-related sport compared to extracurricular sport?
You really
sport?
Have to kind of ask him, I guess.
Well, because I wondered if it's – I'm assuming that some of those practices, instead of going home when everyone else goes home, you stay at school, right, to do baseball stuff some days. And that was the thing for me, is I always kind of had this feeling of, like, being left behind. Like, man, you know, football's every day. Like, I don't want to do that. I want to go home. You know, I'm hungry. I'm tired because I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever to get to school on time. And then they want us to stay. And I don't remember how long it was, a couple hours or whatever. And then I got to figure out a ride to get
home.
You
know, an interesting thing, too, you know, and I think people who have, I think this is the same for soccer, not so much for football, because football, you know, is still determined by high school coaches. But for soccer and baseball and kids who, parents who have kids who play that, you know, an interesting thing is that when you go play high, and I'm not saying this is a problem, so if you're listening and you're his high school coach, he hasn't said this, but I just think, you know, you don't get to pick your coaches in high school. When you go play, like, you join a league and you try out for a team, you can try out for, like, three or four different teams. It's like getting a job almost, and you're like, hey, I didn't really like that dude, or I didn't really like the kids on that team, or it's a far drive, or they practice on days when I have theater. Like, all these things can come into play before you pick the team you want to play for, where this one, they're like, here's your coach. He also teaches social studies.
Yeah.
You like
the same
him?
Guy who gave
Too
you the
bad.
Attention earlier.
Right, yeah. So it's kind of, you know, I feel like that kind of, you know, when I was growing up, you didn't really have that. It was just like, you know, hey, you're playing high school, that's your coach.
That's who it is.
Right. And now it's like, well, you know, and I know people, you know, I saw a Passan wrote an article about it that, you know, these club baseball teams are killing the sport. They're too expensive. You know, kids can't afford to play. Parents are paying. And it's a car payment for me, more than a car payment for me. So I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm just in it. You know, it's like, all right, well, I'll do whatever I'm supposed to do. But I wonder if that's part of it. You know, you get to pick where you're going to go and how you're going to play. Where in high school, it's just like, you know, here's the guy. Then the other thing you think about is like, well, okay. You know, when you go play, and I would think this is absolutely for soccer, too. When you go play for, like, some of these competitive teams, like, the guy coaching you, you know, played for the Mariners.
It's something cool.
He played college baseball, right? And I don't know if his coaches played college baseball. No, I have no idea.
In
they
high
could
school,
they could have played Major League Baseball. I have no idea. But they're still like the sociology teacher.
Right.
Right? So I don't know. You know, I don't know how all that works.
Part of making the
I think
it
would be hard for
prestigious names.
Exactly. And now you have two different sets of coaches, one saying this, one saying that. I think it's confusing. I think it could be the death of sports, to be honest with you. And I, you know, probably I wouldn't suggest it for people, but like I said, I do it and here I am. So.
Yeah. I know the TED Talk that Scott Galloway gave that's been going viral. I've seen it so many times in the last few days. It must have been this last weekend or something. Talking about, you know, we're, I think it's the title of his talk was like, we're failing our kids or something like that.
Right.
And one of the things I've heard him talk about many times is the youth sports thing, that when he was a kid, his mom didn't have money. And so, but if he wanted to play sports, they had these rec leagues that cost a couple bucks.
Sure.
And if they didn't have the couple bucks, the coach is like, don't worry about it. We got it.
Sure.
Now, he has given plenty of stats that I've heard him say over the years that, like, those things have gone away. And I know that part of the complaint about these premier, whether it's baseball, I hear it a lot about football, but whatever sport it is, that, oh, we're making it too expensive for kids to play sports. And now these other leagues have gone away. But have they gone away? Because I look online, like when I hear about this stuff, I'm like, well, I played for a Parks and Rec league that was really cheap. Do they still have teams? And it looks like they still
I know
have
they
teams.
Have them at, like, the Jewish Community Center.
Maybe
my boys played there for a long
playing?
Time. Like, well, no, my kids played there for a long time. I think once you get older, they kind of stop.
So maybe that's what
because
he's
I think what
about.
Happens is, like, you know, you either decide you're going to play a lot of baseball,
Yeah.
You decide you're not going to play a lot of baseball and you just play for the high school team. Or, you know, you play for both, right? I think, like, those rec leagues, once you get to be 16, you know. My oldest went and played with some guys on a rec league team. My buddy coached it. And it was just a rec league team.
What sport?
At the J. It was baseball.
Okay.
And they were all, like, high school guys. They drove there. And I talked to one of the dads. One of the kids was really good. And he was like, hey, he played competitive baseball. Just got burnt out. Hated it. Just hated it. It was his first year back playing baseball. He just wants to come out and play baseball with his friends and have fun. It was the most fun I had. Watching these kids go out and play. They didn't, you know, they were just having fun, man. They didn't care. Like, you know, my youngest showed up. And they're like, hey, we're short a dude. They were 17 years old. They're like, hey, how old are you? He's like, 12, and they're like, play first base, man, let's go.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was that's what I remember sports being like. It's really gotten competitive and pricey and expensive, but it is what it is, you know?
Well, and I mean, I have no...
And by the way, I'm not complaining because both my boys love to do it.
Right.
They love the uniforms. They love the hats. They love playing 4 or 5 games, and they love the competition. So, like, in my oldest right now, I'm saying, man, I can't wait to get back to this other Marucci team. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay. You know.
But do you think, I don't have stats, I'm just assuming here, or guessing, that knowing your kids and knowing you and your relationship with your kids and how they feel about sports and why they're in these competitive leagues, I wouldn't be surprised at all, I guess is how I should put it, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the majority, at least 51% of the kids in these competitive leagues, if you could get the truth out of them, would find out that they feel pressured to be in this league by one of their parents or both of their parents, that maybe these leagues do draw some of those, because we see these parents on TV that are the competitive parents getting their kids into football at 5 or whatever.
Right.
And of course, that's what the documentaries are always about. But they would, you think those parents who are extra competitive and tell their kids you're going to play, that maybe that's where they end up a lot of times, is in these competitive leagues because the parents themselves are competitive. So are there more kids playing that...
I can only go by the...
Are stressed,
the
basically?
Kids on... My boys' teams, and it feels like I would say most of them want to be there.
Okay.
Like, I feel like most of them are, you know, I would say all of them, but, you know, maybe there's a couple that hide it better, but I would say most of them want to be there.
Okay.
You know, they like playing the sport.
I'm sure a lot of those parents then would hear me say that and say, dude, are you kidding me? They begged me to do this, and it cost a fortune. And
no, but I wouldn't be surprised. You're right. That's why I said most of them. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, some of those kids were goaded into it. You know, not necessarily like you have to do it, but like, come on, man, let's step up the pace a little bit. If you're going to do this or you're going to do that, then you need to go do it.
Yeah,
you know,
trying to get praise or just acceptance, love, learn from dad who's competitive.
College,
don't let him down.
A lot of college. A lot of people talk about how you can go play college sports now, you know. That wasn't even like, they didn't talk about that. Well, I was a kid.
Really? About getting scholarships through sports?
I played a lot of sports.
And that was not a thing they brought up?
Very little.
Okay.
You know, like, man, you had, like, no.
Well, did they
like,
title no, minor
just basically
stuff?
Be like, they just basically like, oh, you can't play college sports.
Okay.
Like, they talk about it so much now. I played football. I played baseball. I played all of it. I was pretty good. I don't know that I think I probably could have went to. I didn't know that it existed.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was an NAIA division for football.
Right.
I didn't know I could go to a small school in the middle of Michigan and play football. I thought, well, you either... I'm not good enough to play at Michigan, but
so that's
I had
it.
No idea.
No one else would pay for my school
to go
there.
Play football at, like, you know.
And that's my question. Did they at the time? I don't know how that stuff works.
I think guys could go play that stuff.
Like,
I just didn't know. Nobody ever talked about it.
Softball?
Also, my dad wasn't into sports. So, it wasn't like something that I don't think he even thought about. You know, he just went to the thing and was like, hey, he plays baseball. He's pretty good. Good.
Where did he go to college?
He went to a couple, but He graduated from Southern Illinois.
Okay. I knew he went to college because I remember the fraternity stuff, but I couldn't remember where he went. Did he have any? So
he went to Ferris State before that.
Okay. So there was not like Southern Illinois posters hanging out. What?
No, my dad got kicked out of Ferris State.
For what? You never got the full truth?
No, the story is that there was, I don't know, like, you know, he went in the years of Animal House.
Okay.
And then there was some sort of panty raid.
Okay.
And he got caught on camera.
Wow.
His fraternity raiding a sorority and stealing their underwear.
Wow.
So he got kicked out and then...
Porky's type stuff.
Yeah,
okay.
So then he went to Southern Illinois.
Okay. But there weren't...
And then after that, he went to Vietnam.
Well, yeah, I guess a lot of his buddies did that. There weren't Southern Illinois posters on the wall. There weren't Southern Illinois mentions. Certainly no Southern Illinois tattoos.
No, but I have a couple Saluki shirts, and he had a couple Saluki.
So he had a little bit of.
Yeah, you know, a couple Saluki sweatshirts. And I know, like, a couple times on vacation, if we drove by the area, he'd take us on campus.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that.
A little bit, yeah. You know.
My parents didn't go to school.
And then when I was in the military, one of the, you know, they have like satellite campuses.
Yeah.
On military bases, you can take college classes. So one of the places I took college classes was Southern Illinois.
And was your dad?
Because I was a high school dropout. No, but he was like, I was like, look, Dad, we both go to the same college. And he's like, high school dropout, man. I'm like, look, Southern Illinois, here's credits from Southern Illinois. Like, I have college credits.
I am doing it. I told you I didn't have to graduate.
I'm a Saluki. And he'd always be like, okay, man, you've only been on the campus when I took you. I'm like,
well then,
no, I've been on a campus. It's called a satellite campus.
That's right.
It's in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right. It's real.
Weird to go to school in Southern Illinois in Jacksonville, Florida. I understand, but, you know, times have changed.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
What are you doing?
Do you think it is harder or easier to get through life as a Gen Xer than a boomer or a millennial, a Gen Z? How do you think it? How do you think your generation fares insofar as getting a job, making enough money to get by, how much stuff costs, all that stuff that everyone is constantly talking about? Because they say this is the first time that I think it's around 30, people around 30 say that, or not say actually, they did say that they weren't doing as well as their parents, but then it was the first time that there was actually evidence, data that showed that 30-year-olds for the first time were not better off than their parents were, and
right.
That's never happened. What do they call that? It's like the
I don't know
social contract or something like that.
I guess I don't know. For me, I don't think I got a lot of the benefits that the boomers got. We had our own, which were better than millennials and Gen Z. I get it; they're getting it stuck to them.
Yeah.
But we also live in that world. Like, Gen Xers aren't retired yet.
Right.
They're still paying the inflation, the housing, right? The rent. Like, so I think maybe it was easier for a while, but it's not like my mom, who's retired and owns her, you know what I mean? Most Gen Xers aren't at the place where they own their homes outright. They don't need to buy another car. They're living on the Social Security that's coming in that's guaranteed. Like that, we're not there yet. So
right. You still have
now
to pay
people
for
are like, hey, you know, millennials got a ton. I'm like, yeah, well, I do agree with that, but I'm still living in that world. Like, I'm still shopping at the same store you are. It's
right.
Kind of.
Just to play devil's advocate, I think what they would say is, well, if you got any of the benefits that they're complaining about not getting, like being able to buy a home, you know, getting a better salary when adjusted for inflation, or whatever, at different ages than
sure.
that they're able to get on average, that got you to, like, you're in a better place now, potentially, so not you personally, but in general, that maybe these people are in a better place
to
deal with this
stuff.
You'd
have to play that out, though, maybe. Like, certainly, if you're 27, when I was 27, I did not think I was in a good place.
Right.
So play that out to when you're my age. Wait till you're 45, 55, 60. Wait till then and see. You kind of got to let that play out, right?
Yes.
Like, maybe things are better.
What they do is, in most of these things that I see, including this one that came out today, which we'll talk about here in a second, but they look at people, okay, in this year, compare it to, so this one we're going to talk about, they'll compare it to 1989. So what was it like in 89? What's it like now? What do people spend money on? How much does it cost them? And on top of that, how much are they making? Most of the things I've seen, these doomsday type things, like, you know, if you adjust for inflation, they're making a third as much. They don't want to have kids. They're, you know, it's all this doom and gloom. They're not doing as well as their parents because companies are just designed to keep the rich person at the top rich, and they make sure they don't pay anyone, and schools are really expensive to get into and really hard to get into and all
true.
That stuff. And, you know, the interest rates right now, of course, if you're a Gen Zer trying to get going, it can be tough because rent prices are the highest they've been, and interest rates are high. You didn't even get a good old-fashioned recession to buy some whatever that we didn't buy either, by the way. And they always say that. I'm like, who? Yeah, but people in their 20s. Yes, some people do it, but a lot of them don't. But I did get a house, so I get that. One thing about it is I notice people do get really defensive. If you watch a 20-some-year-old tell their parent, this life is harder for me now than it was for you at my age, you will never get a, I know, I can see that. Like, you know, it's tough out there. Now, maybe that parent exists somewhere.
Right.
But almost always you get the parent who says, what are you talking about? No, my life was harder than yours. And it's like, well, there is some data that we can look at. It doesn't necessarily prove anything, but there are numbers that we can look at. What did it cost? What were we getting paid? What did it cost to?
Yeah, I hate to sound like that old Gen X guy too, because I do think it's harder and stuff. But also, like, there's been decisions made, like, and Gen X made as a whole. I'm not saying everybody, but Gen X a lot made those decisions too. Like, I'm not working like my dad.
Exactly.
I'm not doing 80 hours,
man. I see the 4-day work week thing come up now.
Right.
Every day there's an article.
So
I saw
it's like,
another
well,
one today.
You know, and I'm not saying companies are right. Believe me, that ain't my path here. But I'm also saying, you know, are we...
We've changed our priorities.
Are we trying to find what our priorities are? And, like, the priorities were have a house, two cars, make all this money, vacation. Well, you can't do all that and have... Maybe you can, or you should... be able to do it, and I know people are going to get mad at me, but at least from my point of view, from wherever I grew up, you can't do all that and work 4 days a week. That's what my dad would say. Right. My dad was very honest to me, and I've said it to you, like, hey, if you don't want to work in your 20s and 30s, that's fine. Just consider that your retirement, and just know you're going to work till you die. Like, pick one.
Right.
And you can't think like, oh, I want to work, people are going to get pissed, I want to work from home.
Yeah.
I only want to work 4 days a week, and I want to have the house my dad had.
Right.
Because he got up at 6 o'clock in the morning and put boots on.
Whatever.
Right, and busted his ass. Like, it's just kind of not the same. Now, I don't know that they offer those jobs anymore, and I know people are going to get mad and whatever.
I know.
Whatnot.
I'll try to play devil's advocate as much as I can.
I'm so outside of that loop because, you know, what I've done, I've made less money than anybody because of the thing about... And, you know, I don't want to consider, but actors, musicians, even this, comedians, whatever it is, the bottom is much lower.
Yes.
What you get paid to start is literally nothing. They pay you nothing.
Yep.
We will pay you nothing for the opportunity to see if you can do this, right? That's what you get paid. If you prove you can do it, then, you know, look at Howard Stern.
Like,
Sirius would not be on the air if there was no Howard Stern.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the top, there's no top. Like, if you're an accountant, it's probably like when you get out of school, you make this amount of money.
If you work this many days.
And then if you do this much, you can make this much.
Make partner, that's
right?
You can make this much, exactly.
And then here's the top.
Yep.
You know, these are what, there is no top.
Yeah.
But there's also no bottom. So I've kind of been, you know, when people are like, well, I don't make any money, I'm like... Man, I didn't make any money for a long time, so I don't get the sympathy to that.
I
feel like
agree.
It's more like that sympathy comes from people who have done that kind of structured job, and I'm removed from that. I'm removed from that. My dad would look at it and be like, that's not a job.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You work 5-6 hours a day?
Right.
That's not a job.
Right.
I'm like, no, it is a job.
Like, I can have sympathy for those people. I just have to let them know, like, I didn't go through that. I didn't go through the corporate
right.
world, corporate or really even just the 40-hour work week world. I didn't
right.
do it.
Me neither.
So
really.
I believe you, and I'll look
and
at
I
your got, numbers.
I got to believe that it's much harder now. I just am in a world where, you know, when you say, well, I didn't make any money, I'm like, I didn't make any money either.
Right.
And I just, you know, I couldn't get my first job out of the Navy with college was, you know, I signed a contract for $14,000.
Right.
A year.
Right. Yep.
I shared, it was a dollar whopper.
Mm-hmm.
I bought two of them, two for a dollar, one for me, one for the dog.
Yep. And they would say, now a whopper costs you $12, right?
Right.
So that's different, too.
Right. And my...
More than an hour's wage.
But it was only for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, I would go get them at lunch, and we'd both eat that. And then, you know, my apartment didn't have a bed.
Mine didn't have electricity most of the time.
Mine just
had
a roommate. Couch.
We were both making
$800
They
said it was a Murphy bed, but mine was the one that didn't have the Murphy bed. So
yeah.
I had a fold-out couch that I slept on, you
right.
know? So...
It's totally different people to go to college and then what the... I have to believe the numbers.
Right.
I say, this is what people used to get paid with a basic 4-year degree, a bachelor's degree. This was the average. If they had a master's degree, so on and so forth. I believe all that stuff. I just didn't experience it. But
right.
I did see this thing today, and we'll talk about it here in a second. I was kind of surprised to see what people spend money on and don't, because you think 88 or 89 to today, I think, okay, well, it's probably drastically different, right? I mean, I hear these things all the time. What rent cost? What a mortgage cost? What food cost? All
right.
of this. And you try and figure all that out by adjusting all those prices for inflation.
Right.
So you come up with today's dollars, and then you also try and figure out how much money are people making.
Sure.
So what's life costing them? I thought it was interesting. We'll talk about it here in a minute. And like I said, I'll try to play devil's advocate. Like you said, there may be some times when we don't have a ton of sympathy,
Right.
But I will at least try to, and if you are upset, if you do think we're missing the big picture here, just talk to us on Twitch, yeah. twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, and let us know where we're wrong.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, who had it easier? Boomers, Gen Xers, Millennials, Gen Z. I see this constantly. I'm sure you do too, because I know you get on Facebook sometimes. You ruin things for us, Boomers.
Well, I mean, it's always a battle. Like, you know, you ruin it for us, and you're lazy. You want to work 4 hours a day. You want to work from home. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to put in any effort. You want everything handed to you.
You know, a house today, the average house is $489,000. That's the median cost of a home in the United States. In 1972, it was $30,000. Right. I need you to please adjust all that stuff for me first.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't know what any of that means. People talk about how expensive cars now, and they do seem real expensive
to
me.
For sure.
Like ungodly expensive. And yet, I'll watch these like old car reviews from the 80s and 90s, and I'll see, you know, they'll say, introducing the Ford Explorer, and it costs this much, and I'll stick it into the government's inflation calculator, and I go, oh, well, that's what a new one starts at now. Yeah, it's crazy, but I feel like I got to be doing something wrong overall, because I read about it all the time that the prices are higher than they've ever been. It's harder for people to get cars. Their payments are higher, all those things. If you're making a $500 car payment right now, what would the equivalent of that been in 85? And this main Business Insider article that I was looking at from today, this is millennials versus boomers. So they talk about 1989 to today.
Right. Well, let me just stop real quick because so Lord of War on Twitch.tv /Church of Laszlo, they make a good point here, but it's the point that I think is the argument. And I'm not sure that we're ever going to get to the end of it when this argument comes up, right? Lord of War, they say, I hate that well in my day argument, right? And then they say, who wants to work 50 hours a week and slave away at hard labor? Well, the argument would be from the boomers is that we worked more than 50 hours a week. That's how we got the house that you want. So when you use the argument, I don't want to work 50 hours a week, I think the argument is then you don't get the stuff that comes with working 50, 60, 70 hours a week. Now, you could say, I think the argument to that is there's plenty of people working 50, 60, 70 hours a week who aren't getting the stuff you got. But the argument that you're making, Lord of War, is so loud that other people hear is, I don't want to work that hard.
But I will say, you hit on it a little bit there. I just found a Fortune article here. They say the real argument from Gen Z is, boomers, you don't know what it's like to work over 40 hours a week and not be able to afford a house.
That's the answer,
not
be able right.
to, that's what you got to say. And then you got to keep it clear that it's not. And if you, and
who wants to work 50 hours a week? Yeah, I'd be like, I'm willing to work 50 hours a week if I could make the same amount of money as you did. Right. And by the way, Lord of War still makes his point. And I hear what you're saying, but it's the part where I'm like, I'm starting to side against you. When you say, yeah, but work has also changed. Like with AI, work that required 50 hours can now be done so much more efficiently with less time.
Cell phones, everything.
But there's still time.
Mm-hmm.
So time hasn't changed. There's still 24 hours in a day.
And they pay you for time.
So if you say, I can get all my work done so much more efficiently and it only takes me 20 hours, then I think the argument would be then go find something else to do with those other 20. Do something else just as efficiently and now double your salary.
Yes, and just keep it focused on the why would I work this many
now,
hours when there's
right,
the rewards.
Now, if you just said, I don't want to work it, and I'm good not owning your house and all that crap. Okay, I think that's a fair assessment, honestly.
Yes.
I think that's the better argument. The better argument, I think, was the Generation X argument was, I don't want it.
Right. And the jobs that were available to people with high school diplomas.
Sure.
How much did college cost? We know all those things cannot be disputed.
Absolutely. The other side of the argument is you're not taking into idea that it is harder now, that college is more expensive, that things are more expensive.
Yep.
That life has a lot more things that cost more money than when you were trying to buy them. And that, yes, you could actually live in the United States on a single income.
Right.
You can't do that now.
No.
You've lost your mind. You can't do that now. So that's the argument that I have against the boomers. Like, admit that it's harder. And Gen Z, admit that you don't want to work as much, right?
Both things can be true.
Take a step back and realize that you had it pretty goddamn good.
Yes.
And people younger than you don't have it that good.
They don't.
They don't.
I really don't think that should even be up for debate.
No.
There's too much data.
And by the way, millennials, Gen Z, you could work harder.
Right.
You could.
So, like, just as an example, what you're talking about, 62% of boomers, now they call these boomers low-skill service workers, okay? Whatever that means, low-skill service workers, about 65% of them said that by age 35, they owned a home. For millennials, that went down to about 42%. A couple things that I don't ever hear people talk about. One is, we were fighting the commies that whole time, right?
Okay.
And like when we were kids, this is like, I have this theory, and I've read stuff about this. So, but corporations, Americans, CEOs, they wanted to show the world that we could defeat communism. And part of defeating communism was by saying, we don't need the government to force us to pay someone a certain amount. We don't need the government to force us to, because that would be leaning, you know, now we're going that road. We don't want to go down that road. So what we'll do is we'll pay our employees. We'll show these commies that we can win. And once we've defeated communism, we didn't even think about it. It's just like, hey, we won. And then it's like, now what? And I think part of that, when you read about these old bosses and CEOs who wanted to make sure their employees were paid and all those things, because part of it was showing the commies that we were better than them, and that we didn't need more laws, more regulations, that we didn't need unions. Oh, we don't need unions because we're going to pay them enough that they won't want unions. And once that was over, it's like, yeah. And the other thing that's my first theory. My other one is that people used to get married young.
Yes.
And I think, you know, I never really see that included in the, you know, at least contributor to why maybe people were doing a little bit better at younger ages. I know they were making more money for the same jobs. I know all those things too. I know school was cheaper, all that. We got that. But also, living with someone and being able to work together towards a common goal was probably pretty beneficial for a lot of them, right? Like you just said, I mean, it's impossible now almost to be a single-income family for the normal average Joe to provide for the whole family, mom or dad to be the only one that works. It's tough unless they've got some sort of great high-skilled job.
Course.
You're not going to go get a job with a high school degree that supports your whole family like that. It used to.
I saw someone on Facebook, and I apologize if it's you, but I saw them, and they did kind of hit them a little bit, but they were like, I can't believe this. And they showed a picture of a McDonald's hash brown for $4.98.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath it was like, yo, you're getting that delivered to
you. Right. I know.
And
I love
that. I saw it at 9 o'clock in the morning. They're like, well, sorry, I was hungover. I didn't want to go.
Right.
It still shouldn't be $5. I'm like,
dude, your mom and dad did not have hash browns delivered to the house.
They did not have McDonald's delivered to the house because they were hungover.
Right.
Like, we got to.
Right.
The argument's got to be apples to apples. It can't be.
Yes.
Hash browns are $5 now.
Well, then what did they cost when you went into the restaurant before?
Because they delivered them to me and brought them to my house, so I didn't feel like going. And look, I get stuff delivered all the time. So, I'm like, come on. My dad, if I had told my dad I'm going to get hash browns delivered, he'd be like, is it McDonald's down the street?
Right.
You're going to pay how much more for it?
He would be so perplexed. My dad I think my dad would be sick to his stomach if he saw anyone in his family having food delivered to their house from a restaurant. He died, I think, before that really became a thing, but he would not have approved of that one iota. The mean annual expenditure for housing in 1989 was $21,065. Today, $24,301. I expected that number to be
a bigger
gap. Transportation in 89, $12,000. It's actually $11,952.
Okay.
Today, $12,089.
So it's the same.
Healthcare, 89, $2,100. Today's dollars, and that is today's dollars again, today it's $3,500. And they talk about how the healthcare cost has been one of the single biggest increases that young people have had to pay for today as compared to previous generations. Entertainment. In 89, they were spending $3,200 on entertainment. Today, $2,800. So spending less on entertainment. Again, you can make the argument they have less to spend, but just telling you the numbers here. Personal care products and services, $805 in 89. $880 today.
Okay.
Education, $541. This is one. I'm in 89. $541 today, $982. Huge jump.
Almost double.
So, again, things that shouldn't shock us.
Healthcare,
education. I thought the housing thing would be a bigger jump.
Yeah, me too.
Tobacco and smoking supplies, 89, they spent a lot more on that. About $600. Today, it's about $270. Miscellaneous, about $1,300 a year in the 89 household. About $895 today. Cash contributions. $1,100 in 89, $1,000 today. And then finally, personal insurance and pensions. Personal insurance and pensions, $5,900 in 89, $9,127 today. So those are the three things that jumped the most are the personal insurance and pensions.
What is the personal insurance and pension?
The pension thing, I'm guessing, is like the what are you contributing to your 401k?
So is that
they're
just using that 401k as the equivalent of a pension?
They would have to because we don't have anymore, right?
No.
So I would think that's what they have to do. But also, I do know insurance has gone up. It's almost kind of weird to. But so the big jump is education, healthcare, and personal insurance, retirement, whatever. So those are the things. I'm surprised sometimes by those housing numbers. And, you know, you would think that's the big thing. People say they can't afford a place to live.
Now, what were average people making?
Despite wages increasing since 1970, they haven't come close to keeping up with massive increase in the cost of goods over the last 50 years. The American dollar went a lot further in 1970 than it does today. With inflation adjustments to the average wages in 1970, the typical American income was $24,600 per year. But that generation had a low average consumer price index of 38.8. Wages steadily rose over the next 30 years until the average annual income jumped to $38,700 by 2000, amounting to a 57% increase in average pay.
And I think when you look at it, you know, just when we talk about it, that those numbers, what I said, 12,000 and 60,000, you know, that $30,000 number in between there, that was worth $100,000 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's not too far off.
From
the buying power of what the average salary was then and what the average salary is now. It's not.
And it varies greatly depending on what specific thing you're talking about. It can have a bigger variation.
Right.
But just looking at
that's if you do the buying power index and what it is. So, hey, you know, $100,000 would buy you this in 1979.
Yeah.
You know, if the average salary was about $12,000 and $30,000 would get you $100,000.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That math there? So you were a little less than half.
Mm-hmm.
If you made the average salary, you're a little less than half of what $100,000 would buy you.
Right.
Today, the average salary is $65,000 to get that $100,000 buying power. So you're a little less than half of having $100,000. You're a little more than half of having the $100,000 buying power.
Right.
So
the other thing, too, with the averages, I see a lot of people say, you got to look at the median because we do have people who are getting paid exorbitant, I mean, salaries, including CEOs, right? If you're including them, it raises the whole thing by a lot. So if you stay focused on median, you might get a better idea. It's impossible to compare because you're trying to compare apples to apples, but you're not. You can't. There's no way to know. An inflation calculator isn't magic.
The argument really comes down to what we're saying not to argue about. And I think that's the argument. The argument is, you don't want to work that hard, and but that
if that's
that
you,
sounds lazy, but I'm not, it's not. It's not. I'm not calling people lazy. I'm not. I'm saying you have different priorities in this world, and your priorities aren't the house and the car and the fancy car. It's about spending more time with your kids, being a better dad, being a better mom, being more engaged in the community, helping, doing different things. That's okay, but with that, I would even suggest that it's better, but with that comes less material things.
Right.
That's it. So the boomers would say, we gave, we worked our asses off for what? Material things.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I don't want to work hard.
Right. So
for material things, because material things don't matter to
me. And that's
not
an argument.
Then don't want for the material things.
Right. Because it's a lost
argument. Because you're not going to get both.
Right. Now, if you're saying, I've been working 80 hours a week.
Right, and I want the material things.
And I want the material things. Okay.
But I see plenty of millennials out there getting those
just
material things.
Just check yourself, you know, because I'm with you and I support you. I'm a millennial. I'm with you. But just, you know, be a little more careful how you frame the argument.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo. All right, we're going to doom scroll in a minute, right?
We're going to doom scroll
in a minute. I have news for you.
You do?
Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you. Martha is going to be on Pierce Brosnan tomorrow. No, Pierce
Morgan.
Morgan, thank you.
Piers.
Who is going to be?
Martha from Reindeer.
The actress?
Oh,
yes. The real person.
The real person.
She wants everybody to hear her story.
Of course Piers Morgan has it.
Okay.
I got to where he has his breakdown and does the whole thing, and then it goes
viral. It's stressful,
viral.
Is it not?
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being high on an edible and just binging
jarred,
that.
Man. I watched the first episode, and I kind of had an idea of what I think this show is going to be about. Man, it gets
it just gets darker
dark
and darker and darker.
And dark.
And it is believable. If at least for us, it's believable. Oh, like, 100%. I could see myself.
There's so much relating going
doing
on.
So many of these things. Right. Now, there are also times where you're like, okay, dude, I don't think.
Yeah.
I would have done that.
But I see so much of myself, and I'm sure you guys do,
like, once you go to the cops and all that, like, I don't think once I went to the cops. I don't want to give anything away. I just don't know.
You wouldn't do what when you went to the cops? It's been out for
a long time. No, like, after I go to the cops, I don't know that I would have gone back. You know, things like that. Like, going over to her house. I think I might have been genuinely scared by her. But he explains why he did it, and it makes it's believable sense. You're like, okay. He does a really good job of writing it and explaining what was going on in his head and why he made the decisions he did. And the way he explains it is totally believable. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll watch Piers. What do I have to watch him on? Some British
Scouse? I don't know. I just saw it. It came up on my thing that she was finally going to become known, and she wants to set the record straight.
What day?
I'm sure he offered
tomorrow.
A ton of money.
Tomorrow. Okay. This is big time. I should pretend to be the producer that tried to get him famous. See if I can get paid to be on Piers. Seriously.
It'd be believable.
I mean, I don't know. I look old enough, right?
You kind of got the look. You got the beard.
Exactly.
I don't know if he's bald, but short hair, yeah.
But he could be bald now anyway. He could be shaving his head. Yeah, I could say I'm that guy and see if I can get some interviews. Could use the scratch.
You
That'd
do all
nice.
Those drugs.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I've a lot of guys I could make them famous.
People and
we're going to do the news. America is at war.
That's it.
We got
to
get to the news.
You don't really have to. You don't have to practice for the part.
America's at war. With TikTok. We have to go about that.
Real method actor here. I think you just Laszlo's walk in and boys, tell the truth. What do I do?
Laszlo's boys might finally become scouts, which excites me. Or Snowcone's kid might become a scout. I'm not sure. And if you're into timepieces at all, watches, boy, oh boy, have I got a collection for you to
just
browse.
Just call them watches. Don't say timepieces.
Well, he's got a lot of watches. I don't know what else he has in there, though. I didn't actually watch the whole thing. I just saw a highlight of it. I know he's selling it all, but Sly Stallone is selling. Ooh. He explains how he got into this. I'm a little worried about him. Like, he sold that house to Adele. And look, nothing against Adele. The bitch can sing, right? I get it. She's great. But his house was iconic with the Rocky statues and all that stuff. I'm like, how can someone else?
She
left something, but I don't think she was going to leave all of it. And I'm sorry, but I felt a little sick. Like, where did this guy move? Why can't he afford to stay there? He's in a trillion movies. I understand the money's probably not coming in now.
Should have some Stallone reality show.
Yeah. I watched a little bit of that.
I didn't mind. I just saw the trailer for it.
I watched the first couple.
And he said he wanted to move back to New York. It was time.
Right, but it's a reality show.
That made sense.
I know, but I think now he's selling his watches. I don't know. I think the guy might be looking for money. I don't know what
he just did all the Creed movies.
That's what I'm saying. You'd think he'd be
happy. He did Tulsa King.
Exactly, but that house did look like it cost a lot of money. I don't know if he
I think he's fine.
I hope so. Well, he's selling all of his watches now. He wants you to buy them. So we'll talk about that, and we'll see if we can get Nick to maybe float us the money for one of the cheaper ones. What else was there to talk about today? Oh, of course, the Trump stuff. So what's her name? Stormy Daniels was on the stand yesterday. What happened? Snowcone gives us insight. He went to the courtroom and managed to get in finally.
Yep.
And he got to see it firsthand, and he will tell us what he saw yesterday in court with Donald Trump.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
We're doing the news, my man. The big story of the day. There can only be one.
What?
TikTok. TikTok is doing exactly what we knew TikTok was going to do, and that is they're suing the United States government. They say that the United States is violating TikTok's constitutional rights.
Yes.
And the head guy from TikTok, I've seen that guy when he testified before Congress. I don't know his name. But I don't have TikTok, but apparently if you're on TikTok, you're being inundated, depending on your age, maybe everyone, but depending on your age, with a lot of stuff talking about how dumb this ban is, how it's unconstitutional, how you need to support TikTok, and how they're trying to take TikTok away from you. And the guy who runs TikTok is posting videos on TikTok saying, we're going to fight this. We're going to fight for our rights. Now, the U.S. is saying, hey, we're calling it a TikTok ban.
Chinese fella?
Yeah.
He is? How does he say?
We'll hear him. I think I pulled a clip of him. But the U.S. government is saying, hey, you know, yeah, we're calling it a ban, but it's not really a ban because it's a forced sale. And someone will buy it because they want that delicious Chinese algorithm that's so good. It's kicking our asses. We got to get our hands on it. So some company or maybe companies will come together to buy it. And then you'll still have your TikTok. It just will be owned by an American company, which is crazy to me.
Let me hear this guy.
We can do that. I think he is in this segment at the end. I sure hope I got some of them for you.
This morning, TikTok taking on the U.S. government. The social media giant suing to block a nationwide ban it called obviously unconstitutional.
The bill is passed.
Legislation signed into law last month would force Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell TikTok within a year or see it banned in the U.S. The company's CEO vowed to fight back.
We aren't going anywhere. We are confident and we will keep fighting for your rights in the courts.
There you go. That's him at the end of there.
What's his name?
Yeah, I don't know. A good-looking young guy. I don't remember his name.
CEO TikTok?
He's this American CEO, ByteDance America, something like that, head of ByteDance U.S. I think he's specific. I don't know if he's in charge of other things, too, but he's specifically in charge of the U.S. arm of TikTok. They said that TikTok would sue. They knew this would happen. And I think I heard that this will take at least 6 months to a year.
Shoo-choo.
Okay. For the stuff
Shoo-choo.
To go back and forth.
Shout-choo.
And then if they lose, if TikTok loses, then they start the 1 year. Okay, now you've got 1 year to sell it. So the 1 year hasn't started yet now because of the lawsuits. So point is, I can't remember, like, there was never a time when they said, Toyota's kicking our ass. We're going to sue them, and we're going to make them sell to General Motors. Like, that never happened. I don't remember that ever happening. But maybe it has. It's happening now with TikTok, so good for us. I hope Zuckerberg gets it. Who's going to buy it? Who's got the money to buy TikTok? It's going to have to be, like, a group. Like, Microsoft.
It's either a group or it's, you know, Apple, Microsoft, Oracle.
Is there still anybody rich who's like ahead of one of these crypto things? There's got to be a billionaire crypto person somewhere, right? I know some of them are in jail now. I was trying to think of those crypto people, and I was like, oh, no, he's in jail. Oh, she's in jail. There's got to be somebody. But it might take more than one. I've heard that. There might not be one person or one company that says we've got enough money to pay for this whole thing. Lazo, great news.
Well, if it's for sale.
Huh? If it's a forced sale.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Right. Like, why does it cost so much then? I guess the government, if they...
It sets the value?
I don't know. That's the part that has not been explained to me, because I would think that then the Chinese would say, okay, well, it's $1 trillion or whatever, so that no one can buy it. So they must have put something in the legislation about what the maximum is they can charge for it, right?
I would think.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it says in there somewhere. They'll pay based on, you know, the worth that we've come up with through this math. The Boy Scouts of America, no more. They're gone.
I heard they're just the Scouts.
They're the Scouts now. You know why?
Because they don't want people to remember that they little boys.
Did you catch that, Snow Cone?
Uh-huh.
That's true, though, right?
Well, I think so. I saw the documentaries.
That's absolutely true. I'm sorry if that's not allowed for people to hear, but it's the truth.
But here's what seems odd about all that.
It's the truth.
It's as if they're saying, now it's just the Scouts. Girls, boys, whatever. But it's like, you know, you're saying
if
before
Catholics
we only
are called Catholic boys,
right?
They'd be like, you know what? Let's just go with the Catholics.
Well, that's the thing. The Catholics still abused almost exclusively boys, right? It seems like a lot of those victims that you see on TV, especially in the UK and stuff, they're all dudes. So just because you have girls there, I don't know. And also, aren't there pedophiles who prefer little girls? I mean, I don't know. Right now, you've got a group that just really attracts pedophiles who are into little boys.
Yeah.
Now you're saying, we're going to get a group that attracts pedophiles on both sides of the aisle. Pedophiles who like girls and pedophiles who like boys by becoming the Scouts. I mean, that to me, like, that doesn't seem like a fix. But I could be missing the big picture. I know they're in a lot of trouble. Their numbers are way down.
Aren't they? I mean, that's it, right?
And what about
the
Girl Scouts?
Open and
what are you going to call a girl who's in the Scouts?
She's going to be a Scout.
She's just going to be a Scout.
But will boys join the Boy Scouts?
No.
Or the Girl Scouts?
It's just the Scouts.
But can they join the Girl Scouts then?
The Girl Scouts is a separate organization. I think, no. There's been no news that I've heard that the cookie-selling group is going to start accepting boys. Maybe they are. If someone on Twitch has heard that, please let me know. I've just not heard that. I've only heard
Boy Scouts of America is changing its name. The organization announcing yesterday, after 114 years, it is soon going to go by Scouting America. It's part of an effort to emphasize inclusion as it works to move past the turmoil of bankruptcy and the flood of sexual abuse claims. The change will officially take effect next February.
As it moves to try and get past the bankruptcy. Yeah.
All right, so the
rape is what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
when that's what caused.
He said what I said, only a little bit more elegantly, I suppose.
Yeah, how you would say it on TV.
I mean, I'm sure he's got a broadcasting degree. I got a GED.
Yeah.
He said what he said, I said what I said.
Yeah. I mean, look, you're not asking to be a guest host on Dateline sometimes.
No.
He is. So, you know, you got to keep it
network friendly, right?
Right.
But it doesn't change the truth.
Right.
And did you actually watch the Boy Scout documentary on Netflix?
I watched most of it, and I was like, I can't watch it.
Did you get to the part where the guys created fake packs? And took advantage of these single moms who didn't have any money. They said, hey, we've started this pack or whatever it's called. The Boy Scouts, a den. Maybe it's a den. I do remember den mothers. I was in scouting for like a day, so I don't really remember much of it. But they would start these fake ones and then just take these kids' places and rape them. And the moms had no idea because they're working 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. And they thought these guys were doing something good. And no one was overseeing it. They're just like, we're scouts. I don't remember. Did they get them uniforms? They must have gotten the uniforms. But my God. I've got a friend who finished. He became an Eagle. I know. Okay.
What did he do?
He completed the program. He became an Eagle Scout.
No, congratulations.
And I know that along the way, he kept fighting it. He didn't want to do it. And his stepdad was like, Hughes has to do it. Which I'm not sure why. I guess stepdad must have been an Eagle Scout. Or maybe he was living vicariously. He's like, I should have been an Eagle Scout. I'll have my stepson be an Eagle Scout.
I don't think anybody grows up and says, I wish I was an Eagle Scout.
Well, this guy was intent on his stepson being an Eagle Scout. And he kept telling us, like, you can get any job.
I hear people say
Presidents of the United States have been Eagle Scouts, all this stuff. I'm like, okay. Well, by the time he became an Eagle Scout, I'm like, I don't think anyone cares.
Right. I mean,
I hate to tell you, but
I could see, like, in 1965,
right.
Like, look at that Eagle Scout.
He was an Eagle
That's
Scout.
That's a good young man.
Yeah.
Who learned manners.
Yes, and how to tie every knot and start
a
fire with his spit. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
But now, like, does any boss of any company be like, you know what?
Eagle Scout?
Hey, give me the resumes. Start with the Eagle Scouts. I want the Eagle Scouts on top. I mean, don't say that.
No.
Don't say that.
Well, it's better than where they've been.
Well, yeah, true.
I mean.
No, you're right.
It's horrible. I knew that there were incidents. We'd seen stories about it in the news over the years. But then when that whole thing broke, and I watched that documentary on Netflix, it's hard for, I think, most people to believe that there are that many predators among us.
Yeah, right.
We just think that's got to be so rare, no way. And then to see how many of these people exist, and then of course they're attracted to an organization like that.
Of course.
And it seems like the background checks weren't all that thorough.
And,
right?
they wanted to hide the publicity because it was money. So
exactly.
They just...
And you're like, how many people this happened to? And you know, I mean, honestly, same with the Catholic Church.
We
know it was bad.
Thing.
But I think that you really forget how many people were hurt, were raped, were assaulted in the church, and how people giving money to the church.
No, they still do it.
And they still do it. That money was being used to help cover that up. I mean, that
is... And now,
is
if you give it, it goes to defense attorneys.
Just like something we shouldn't be forgetting, you know?
Right.
And it's like, we move on. Oh, they got those bad
Catholic
priests out.
When that Catholic basket comes around, it's going to defense attorneys and the payouts.
Right. It's like giving money to the police.
It used to be to covering up.
Yeah.
Now that it's out in the open, now
we got another one. Okay, just pay
settle.
Him. Just pay him. Yeah. But I feel like people, generally speaking, when you talk about Catholicism, oh, Joe Biden's a Catholic, whatever. You know about the rape, but you feel like that's a thing that they dealt with, right? And they got those bad priests out, and some of them got in trouble, and it's over. I don't think most people can really comprehend how massive, systemic, whatever the word is, that abuse was in that church. It's crazy. My mom's Catholic, and I talked to her about it. I'm like, how do you, you give money to the church? I don't want to ruin it for her. You know, whatever. She's Catholic. She stopped being Catholic when she was married to my dad, and then when he died, actually a little bit before he died, she went back to the Catholic Church, and she knows, like, she's met priests who got in trouble. So it's not like you have to look far and wide to find these people. She knows of some. Oh, one time she told me, Father so-and-so, he's a great man, right? Mm. Wonderful man. And he just couldn't be a better man, really. He's like a godly man. And some people have accused him of some stuff. It's horrible that they've accused him of this. We had this conversation. I'm like, Mom, those people are telling the truth. I'm not saying that everyone who makes an accusation about being assaulted is always telling the truth. But when you have people who are saying that they were a child who was abused by a priest, I would start with believing them instead of being angry at them.
Right.
And defending the priest, that shouldn't be your reaction. But I think
especially it's... Especially, if this never happened...
Right.
You may be like,
what's
your story?
Right, but I don't think she can comprehend or wants to comprehend...
How much it happens.
How bad it was and how big a part of the entire... organization it was. Anyhow, the Scouts now, it sounds like Sounds like it's a
clean their stuff up.
Safe place to be. What is it called? Scouting of America?
Yeah.
Scouting of America. So the other thing, too, is you got kids. Are kids asking to be scouts anymore? When I was a kid, some kids did want to be scouts.
Well, I mean, I told you, Bomb Pop, you know, had a week or two he was asking about it, but I haven't heard about it since, so.
Yeah. What about now? Could he be in the Scouting of America organization?
I still feel the same way. I don't love it, but we can talk about it.
Okay.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets. Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo, yo. Finishing the news. Remember charged lemonade at Panera? It was so good.
Oh,
it was killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly killing people. They had a couple losses. Well, they got at least this one. This girl had something wrong with her heart. OTC, TTC. I don't remember. She had a heart condition.
Right.
She drank that lemonade at Panera. And she hit the floor, and she died. And she was young. And her friends had to call her parents for the whole thing. They're suing Panera. Those stories started a while ago when we talked about this caffeinated lemonade and how much caffeine was in it compared to a Red Bull or whatever. Well, apparently Panera this whole time was like, we're still selling it. It must be popular because they didn't take it off the shelves.
Right.
But now they're saying, you know what? We're done with charged lemonade. So if you are a big fan of charged lemonade, as we are, I don't know if you're going to be able to get it much longer, even today. I'm going to run over there on my way home, see if I can get some. It's like when they tried to ban Kratom. You know, snow cone, you just put a bunch of it in your basement and see how much you can get. Maybe they'll sell me the syrup or whatever.
Too. How about the whole dispenser?
The dispenser. I want that. Yes. Snow cone, go over there and get that thing from me.
Why did you just sound like Beavis?
Because I got excited. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Get it. Yeah.
You sounded just like him.
After a number of lawsuits by people who claim their caffeinated drinks caused health problems, including two deaths, Panera now pulling their charged lemonade and charged sip drinks from the menu. Lawsuits include one filed by the family of Sarah Katz, a 21-year-old student who drank the beverage, which the suit alleges led to a cardiac arrest.
Her roommate told us that she had had a drink from Panera, charged a lemonade drink.
Now the Katzes are suing Panera for wrongful death, negligence, and several other counts.
Sounded like Dad could use a charged lemonade, didn't he?
Yeah, like, man, put me to sleep.
21, I mean, man, that's horrific. You guys are parents. I can't even imagine your kid. So you get a call from your kid's friend, and like they're on the floor at Panera. What? Why? The lemonade. Like that's. I mean, poof. Yeah. I saw the pictures that they posted back when those stories came out of what the lemonade dispenser looked like. I don't go into Panera a lot. I'm not a woman, but I saw what it looked like, and it didn't look, at least in the pictures I saw.
I think I would know
overtly
if it said
clear that it was. Highly caffeinated.
I think I would know if it said charge.
I don't know that I would even notice. I might just see
the
lemonade part.
You're not going to, you know.
What? Well, it's not going to kill me, I don't think. Right. But I assume there are people that are wanting to stay away from energy drinks. And when they said how much caffeine was in it, wasn't it like as much as an energy drink?
Yeah,
per
that's what
per
I'm
ounce?
Saying.
You're if saying you would know. People said they didn't
I'm
know.
Also saying if I knew energy drinks would kill me, I'd be reading what I'm getting put in my glass.
Yeah.
If it said charged lemonade, I'd be like, well, I don't know how much caffeine that has, but it's clearly charged, so why don't I get the uncharged stuff?
I'd probably
You'd
think,
at least
like,
ask, like, hey, does this have energy stuff in it?
I don't even think, if I knew caffeine would kill, if I went to go get peanuts, if a peanuts killed me, I'd look to see what was in the goddamn bag before I ate it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't just fill my glass up with something called charged.
I just want to know if charged to me would mean.
Know. I would think like, oh, this isn't free.
Right. That's
I can't
I
use
think.
My water cup.
I wouldn't think like, oh, there's
I
a ton
wouldn't
of caffeine.
Notice the charge. I saw
it.
The sign and I would see pink lemonade and yellow lemonade.
Yeah.
And I would have gone, oh, lemonade. And I would have seen out of the corner of my eye lemonade and I would have
That's
got
exactly
some.
It.
And it wouldn't have killed me, but later I might have been like, poof. You guys feeling anxious for some reason? Because I don't drink a lot of
energy
drinks.
Well, don't you think you'd be more in tune to that if it would kill
you? Yes, and I don't know. Did she know that caffeine would kill her? That's the other question. Did she know that caffeine would kill her? Because if she didn't...
Well, if she didn't, then that's how it's their fault at all.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They got to have some evidence that shows that she had to avoid caffeine and that she knew it. She did have a heart condition. I don't remember what it was called. It was an acronym.
Okay. So she had a heart condition.
She had a heart condition, so I assume that she knew not to drink energy drinks because she knew about the heart condition, but...
You're right. Quick Trip has Rooster Booster Energy. I know what it is.
Yeah, it's right next to the energy drink.
Not an idiot when I walk up.
An energy drink.
They have the
Oh, the dispenser. Yeah.
I don't walk. I know what the hell. When I see Rooster Booster, I'm like, that's a booster.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, I wonder if it comes with a booster seat or whatever.
It's been so long they had that. I don't know if I'd never seen that before, would I know that?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if they put it just at the fountain drink first. Yeah.
Rooster Booster?
I mean, it's been around for so long, I don't know.
I would be like, what the hell is that? I wouldn't be surprised it has a lot of caffeine in it. But also, Panera, I don't think of them as like an energy drink dispensing place. Mm-hmm. We're going to take lemonade and make it as caffeinated as Red Bull. And
all right, so what if someone drank a Rooster Booster? Quick Trip. Why are they in trouble?
I don't know. I haven't heard that story.
None of it makes any sense.
I haven't heard that story. So Lazo needs to go be on the legal team for Panera. And since you're offering your services pro bono, ask him for the damn dispenser. Heart, you know, dying from your heart. That's what men fear the most, right? Just at any moment we could go. I saw that story out of Detroit. It might have been Livonia, actually. I don't know if it was a suburb of Detroit, but it's right next to Detroit. Where that the teachers were playing like basketball at the school against one another, teachers versus teachers, and this guy who's I think he's a PE coach has a heart attack, collapses on the floor. The students are the ones who administer CPR and do the whole boom, get him, you know, back to life, saved his life, and they were honored for this. Well, yeah, they should be, but also I know better. I don't know what heart conditions I have. If I have any, I'm not aware, but I do know that if right now you said, hey, for fun, we're going to have everyone here play a game of basketball in the full-size basketball court, 4-on-4. I would say, absolutely not. That will kill me. I don't know what conditions I have, but I know I shouldn't be doing that. You see what I'm saying? This person knew that their parent had died at a young age from heart disease. I think maybe even they said their grandparents, like, stay off the basketball court, man.
I guess.
You just can't do it.
Yeah. Dude,
they won't give us the stents early.
They should give us a stents early.
They should, but they won't.
Especially with all this charge limiting.
Exactly. Look at how I'm living. Just give me the stents already. Why do I have to wait?
After just seeing how prevalent gambling has been in my high school. And just seeing my
I forgot to even tell you what this was, Snowcomb.
Wait, just let him go. Yeah. We got it. Just let him go. I want to hear him.
Oh, okay. Well, here you go. This is the
I know what it's going to be. It's going to be the gambling thing.
The gambling thing. This is the gambling thing.
After just seeing how prevalent gambling has been in my high school and just seeing my friends gambling sports right at their fingertips on their phones, just the conversation has about sports has gone from the actual game right to more of like the spreads and the money lines. So you just hear it being talked about in classrooms, at the lunch table, in the hallways. It's just so prevalent everywhere.
Now that's Colby. He's the one who wrote the article that got published by the New York Post.
Yeah.
It's called High Stakes for High Schoolers. Wanna bet teens need gambling education? And he says he sees people gambling at school all the time. Now, how do they do it? I don't know. Are they using their parents' ID? Maybe. Are they using a sibling's ID? You know, I guess it's sort of like trying to buy alcohol in high school. It's just a new version of that.
Harmon says he sounds like a snitch. He does sound like a snitch, you rat.
I mean, talking...
about yourself. Why are you so worried about everybody else? If you don't want to gamble, don't gamble. Shut your mouth.
If I was his parent, I'd be very concerned about all this. It just seems like bad publicity. Now you're the guy who went, hey, we need education about gambling. Dork. Like, ugh, don't do that. But his name's Colby.
Just don't gamble. Just look around. And if you want, you know, you can just be superior.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell everybody you're superior. You can just be superior. And
yeah.
Just be like, look, I saw that line. And then not gamble and watch them all go broke.
Yeah. This says, according to the National Council on Problem Gambling, which I applied to, but I haven't heard back, 60-80%
of... You applied to be on the council?
The National Council of Problem Gambling. I just wanted to work there. They had an opening. I saw it on Indeed, and I sent it over. I've been sending out a lot of resumes. You should, too. 60-80% of high school students reported gambling real money in the past year, even though the legal age range is 18 to 21. They also report that high schoolers have twice the rate of gambling problems as adults. Twice the rate.
Well, the problem is they don't have any money.
That's my thing. How much money could you be losing? I worked every hour I was allowed to work when I wasn't at school. From the time I was 14 all the way through graduation, I had usually two jobs at a time.
I did not have much money. Take this show from beginning to end. The first thing you're telling me is that nobody's got any goddamn money.
Right.
They can't afford anything in this goddamn country.
These Gen Zers are broke.
And now they're just high school kids with gambling problems.
Right.
Because they got money shooting out of their ass.
Right. Where are you getting
just
this
throwing
money?
Throwing it at FanDuel. Come on.
Twice the rate of
Which
gambling problems.
Which one is it?
Sports betting is legal in 38 states, but it's legalization on the online betting sites. It is the legalization on online betting sites that has allowed high school students to get on the action. You don't have to look very hard to find a place to do it, even as an underage high school student, as 30 states plus the capital now allow you to place bets right from your fingerprints. Yes, I get that. But why are you telling me, Colby, that you don't have to look far? It's right there on your phone. But your phone does ask you to sign up with a social security number. Explain to me. Now, he says it's easy to create these accounts on these apps. He says technically you're supposed to be over 18 or over 21. And although identity verification is required to set up an account to withdraw real money, teens find ways to set them up anyway. Colby, explain to me how they find ways. I'm curious. Now, maybe he's like, I don't want a rat. Maybe that's what you guys were talking about. Maybe he's like, no, I don't want a rat. They'll be mad if I tell them. I'm just saying maybe you should do some gambling education in school. But they say once you have the, he says, once you have the app on the phone, you're hooked. That's it. And they're paying attention to these sporting events. They're checking scores while they're at school. They're betting against one another, anything you can imagine. And now they all have gambling problems. I mean, no wonder they're broke. Now we sound like boomers, right? 100%. Yeah. You kids are gambling all your money away. I never would have gambled if
I gambled. I used to go to the horse track and the dog track
when you were 15.
Yeah.
Oh, we couldn't.
Saw
do
my
that.
Dad's partner in there one time. Well, you could get in.
He had a,
they let you
an affair.
No,
yeah, well, that's what I was wondering. Yeah,
business partner.
Oh,
yeah. I walked in. I was like 16. I was like, oh, and he was like, you don't tell your dad I'm here. I won't tell him. I was like, yeah, we're good.
Oh, okay.
So we used to go gambling all the time.
With a fake ID? That's it? Okay.
Well, no, yes. But they didn't ask you for ID to go in.
You just couldn't stop and gamble, right? That's when you had to. That's how the casinos used to
be. They didn't ask you for ID to buy a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They asked you for ID to cash it out.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Right.
That's when they said.
Yeah. So,
oh, you already gave us your money, but we didn't have to
pay
you.
So there's plenty of times we had to call somebody, like somebody's older brother, be like, man, we want a bunch of money. You got to come pick it up. And he's like, all right, 10%. And then you come and get it.
I just feel like it was so hard to make money in high school. I worked so many hours, you know, like starting off, I think I made $4.25 an hour, whatever minimum wage was. You did not make much money. I can't imagine sitting there and being like, I'm going to gamble this away. It was too hard to make that money. But I know a lot of kids probably get money from their parents and maybe they just give them cash. I don't know. Give them allowances, right? Allowances are a normal thing for most people. Did you guys get a weekly allowance when you were kids?
No.
But it is a real thing, right? It's not just in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure my friends, some of them got allowances. They had cash. Like, where'd you get that money? Oh, my mom and dad. So you got an allowance?
Yeah, I got like $20 a week, and you had the list of chores to do.
Right. Okay. I could get paid for doing stuff around the house when I was a little kid. Washing the door. There was a list. It pays you this much each thing.
Uh-huh.
But in order to gamble, besides setting up the account, wouldn't you need a checking account too? Get that money in a checking account?
Well, you could use Venmo.
Well, don't you need to be 18 for Venmo?
You can use Venmo for those betting apps?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I thought about that. I was like, okay, bank, that'd be hard. Oh, Venmo.
No,
oh, but
sure
I think you have to be 18 for Venmo. Oh, you might not have to be 18 for Venmo?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so anyway, talk to your kids about gambling, Lazo. They have a real gambling problem. Both
of
them.
My kids do?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're twice as bad as we are, and I know how bad your gambling problem is.
I got their back. They got no problem.
Well, I'm just saying.
Win some money.
Be aware. Be aware of it. And
I'm good. Let's go.
Just pretend you know with them from now on.
They know a lot about sports. I'm with them.
Yeah. You think they're gambling on their phones? Have they said that they've seen kids at school gambling on their phones?
Never.
Yeah, I think.
I know they've tried to sign up, and they couldn't.
They did?
Yeah. Both of them were trying to do it.
Hmm.
I was like, I don't think it'll let you. I didn't stop them. I'm like, I don't think it'll let you.
And they just gave it a shot?
Yeah, so I was like, you're going to have to tell me what you want to gamble.
I wish this Colby kid would have told me how the hell they're doing it. He's like, oh, they just find a way. Okay. He's like, you know, the schools talk about smoking and vaping and all that stuff. Don't do that, but they should be talking about gambling. And I'm sorry, Colby, but you know what I'm thinking? Yeah, they talk about stop vaping. How does that work? They did DARE and told us not to do drugs. How'd that go over? I mean, I get it. What you're saying is there's a gambling problem. You really want your school coming in there and teaching you that gambling is bad? Because all it does is make gambling even cooler. As soon as your teacher starts saying, this is bad, don't do it, I'm like, ooh. What are we talking about? Gambling.
Yeah.
Now you're cool. That's it. If you want something to be cool, tell your teachers not to do it.
I think we always gambled. We always had, you know, the guy at the store who ran the sheets.
We did not have that. Yeah. In my friend group. Now, maybe other kids I went to school would say, yeah, we gamble. But I don't remember gambling going on really at all. Other than amongst us, right? I'll bet you $20 that the Redskins beat. Whatever. That was
You're not allowed that to was say it. That. Please hit the button.
What?
What you just said.
Oh, crap. The Commanders.
The
Commanders. I would say Guardians. Commanders.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. If you were wealthy, you know, like if you were a baby boomer, all that money just was handed to you, and you sat on a bunch of wealth, what kind of, spoils would you be into? That rich people, you know, they can buy whatever they want. There are those prized possessions out there, those name brand.
Sure.
Handbags, expensive exotic cars, clothes, all that stuff, of that kind of stuff, could you see yourself really, or do you ever envy their ability to buy any of those things? Not just because they have money, but because you like those things.
I think uber expensive watches.
Right, me too.
You know, I noticed
I think that's
those,
pretty common.
Okay.
I think that must be common because I know, like, both of my brothers are into it. They know way more than me, and they read all these articles about watches, and everything's got to be an automatic, and, you know, they know a lot about them. I look at watches and go, okay, Rolex, $28,000. I don't think, like, I'd like to buy that someday. This goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. I don't think, like, someday that'll be mine. I think, well, that'll never happen. So
yeah, but I also think it would be nice.
Cool, exactly.
Yeah, it would be nice if that happened.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen, but it'd be nice if it happened.
Right. And my doctor, my general practitioner, whatever, he has a Daytona and he wears it. Every time I see him, I'm like, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know what he makes, but he makes enough to have that Rolex, and that's pretty cool. Now, what I don't think he makes enough to do is have a collection like Sylvester Stallone, but few do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. But he's entered another class. When I look at watches, it used to be around the $100 range. In the last couple of years, they've all about tripled. So now when I look at watches, they're between $150 and $350. That's my range. But that does not include any, you know, watches that rich people care about. They don't care about those watches. They care about the $30,000 ones, the $100,000 ones. And I have to admit that I do find myself sometimes being a little envious, like, eh, that's cool. So much so that obviously we're interested, at least, in getting knockoffs.
Right.
Like the idea of having a knockoff. And could I fool a stranger into thinking that this is a real?
I think you'd probably fool most people.
Daytona. Right. Well, they don't know anything about you.
Right.
Told you the one guy that complimented my Rolex was the guy at the bank. And I thought, this is great. He doesn't know me, but he was about to look at my bank account. And I was like, oh, crap. Now he knows for sure that it's not real.
Oh, maybe things just spend all on that.
He complimented it. Maybe he does. Maybe he's like, boy, this guy leveraged a lot to get that Rolex. Anyhow, Sylvester Stallone wants to part with all of his beloved watches, or at least a lot of his beloved watches. Says he's auctioning off 11 of these timepieces from his collection at Sotheby's. Now, I've heard of Sotheby's a million times. Mm-hmm. No one's ever invited me, but I think we should go. I think we should go to Sotheby's.
How much are the watches?
Well, let's just see here. It says what's sure to draw interest in the forthcoming sale. He's got a Grandmaster chime. See, I don't know what this stuff is. Out of my price range. It sold for a whopping $31 million.
Wow.
That's out of my price range. I mean, you could make it happen, but then it's like, do you need it? Right. He's got a Grandmaster chime that has a price that's estimated between $2.5 million to $5 million. They say it's likely to climb north of that, though. So we're talking about stuff that's in the millions. Now, he also says that he had this or developed this watch addiction because of another celebrity. A celebrity that you wouldn't think would be the celebrity that got him into watches. If you're like, hey, who got Stallone into watches? It's a celebrity. Even if you narrowed it down and said it's a rock star. Oh, a rock star. Okay.
And it's not his brother Frank.
Nope. I'd be like, no, Frank's probably stealing watches from his collection. That was mine. Nuh-uh. This is probably the last guy I would think, but Stallone's posted some videos about this sale.
I started collecting when I finally came into some money. I had just finished Rocky, and there was Greg Allman, and I guess he was very tired, so his arm was hanging in the aisle, and on his wrist was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. When I finally got a few bucks together, I went out and bought this gold Submariner. And that was the beginning of my love affair for Rolex watches in general. Thank you, Greg Allman, for sleeping and hanging your arm in the aisle. It's changed my whole trajectory. You've cost me a fortune.
Okay. Is Greg Allman the one that donated his sperm?
No, that's David Crosby. Greg Allman was married to Cher.
But they're brothers?
No.
No.
I thought they were the brothers.
David Crosby was in Crosby, Stills, Nash.
And Greg Allman's brother is...
But what about Dwayne Allman? What about the Allman brothers?
The Allman brothers. It was Greg and Dwayne.
They're brothers, right?
Greg and Dwayne are brothers.
Did one of them play keyboards? Tall guy with blonde hair?
Sure.
What was their
tall
band?
Tall guy with blonde hair.
The Allman brothers?
Greg.
Which group was bigger, the Allman brothers or Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young?
Close.
Which group was bigger, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young or Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Young.
With Young? They were more successful?
Right.
I don't know.
Which is bigger, Neil Young solo or any of those other guys solo?
Neil Young.
Either of Crosby, Stills, or Nash?
The Allman Brothers,
Neil
any
Young
of them.
By himself. Oh,
yeah, any of those
Greg
guys.
Allman might. Well, Neil Young's bigger than all of them. Greg Allman had a pop hit.
Wasn't David Crosby popular?
Not like Neil Young.
It's hard to imagine that.
Greg Allman did have some pop hits in the 80s when he was dating Cher.
It's just so, you know, these baby boomers that were like, and now I'm back to the baby boomer thing, but it's like, you know, the hippie movement, peace and love. We don't need expensive things. Hell, we don't even need to change a clothes or a shower. And you have this whole, you know, the generation of music that comes from that. And these guys, as soon as they got money, like,
I'm no
$5
angel.
$5 million watches. Huh?
That was the Greg Allman song that was a hit.
Boom. Where were you on that, Snowcone?
Yeah.
You need to read up. You have a library card. You're supposed to know the classic rock stuff.
Right? Well, yeah.
I need to
Greg
know
Allman.
Who is bigger, you know?
I just told you.
Who did Greg Allman deliver sperm to? Or donate
sperm David
to?
Crosby gave it to Melissa Etheridge.
But then didn't Allman get jealous? Allman get jealous and say, I'm going
to
give mine.
I think he donated sperm to Cher.
So he had sex with Cher?
Yeah, a lot.
Like what era? 70s?
The hot era, Cher.
Well, it's like a long era.
I know, but like, yeah, the 70s and 80s, I think.
Wow, okay. Well, anyway, do you want some of these $1 million watches or not? Laszlo, there's 11 of them for sale. We got to go to Sotheby's. You don't have to go. You can call.
I'm good.
You can be a phone.
I got a watch.
Whatever. You can call on the phone and make a bid.
I got a watch. Are we done?
This is like when you went gambling, and they ask for your ID at the end, you know, when you go to cash out. You buy the watch, and then when they ask for the money, you say, yeah, it's coming. Just take it. Snowcone will know what to do.
Yep, I got it.
He'll just act like he's, oh, we're wiring the money. Just hand me the watch. It's on the way. He'll figure it out. I think, though, Sylvester Stallone is in trouble, Laszlo. I think he's in trouble. I know you say you think he just wanted to move to New York. He sold his house to What's-Her-Face, and that is not okay.
Look, if he's selling one watch at north of $2.5 million, if he's not fine right now, he's
going
to be.
But for how long? Where's all this money going? Are his daughters ripping him off? I'm worried about him, Laszlo.
He's fine. I got to pee.
77 years old.
I got to pee.
Go pee. We'll see you tomorrow.
Are we done?
I think so. Yeah, it's the end of the day,
good
right?
Good show, Greg Allman. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. If you were wealthy, you know, like if you were a baby boomer, all that money just was handed to you, and you sat on a bunch of wealth, what kind of... you know, spoils would you be into? That rich people, you know, they can buy whatever they want. There are those prized possessions out there, those name brand handbags, expensive exotic cars, clothes, all that stuff. Of that kind of stuff, could you see yourself really, or do you ever envy their ability to buy any of those things? Not just because they have money, but because you like those things.
I think... uber expensive watches.
Right, me too.
You know, I noticed
I think that's
those,
pretty common.
Okay.
I think that must be common because I know, like, both of my brothers are into it. They know way more than me, and they read all these articles about watches, and everything's got to be an automatic, and, you know, they know a lot about them. I look at watches and go, okay, Rolex, $28,000. I don't think, like, I'd like to buy that someday. This goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. I don't think, like, someday that'll be mine. I think, well, that'll never happen. So,
yeah, but I also think it would
be
nice.
Cool, exactly.
Yeah, it would be nice if that happened.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen, but it'd be nice if it happened.
Right. And my doctor, my general practitioner, whatever, he has a Daytona and he wears it. Every time I see him, I'm like, he's doing all right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know what he makes, but he makes enough to have that Rolex, and that's pretty cool. Now, what I don't think he makes enough to do is have a collection like Sylvester Stallone, but few do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay. But he's entered another class. When I look at watches... it used to be around the $100 range. In the last couple of years, they've all about tripled. So now when I look at watches, they're between $150 and $350. That's my range. But that does not include any, you know, watches that rich people care about. They don't care about those watches. They care about the $30,000 ones, the $100,000 ones. And I have to admit that I do find myself sometimes being a little envious, like, eh, that's cool. So much so that obviously we're interested, at least, in getting knockoffs.
Right.
Like the idea of having a knockoff. And could I fool a stranger into thinking that this is a real...
I think you'd probably fool most people.
Daytona. Right. Well, they don't know anything about you.
Right.
Told you the one guy that complimented my Rolex was the guy at the bank. And I thought, this is great. He doesn't know me, but he was about to look at my bank account. And I was like, oh, crap. Now he knows for sure that it's not real.
Oh, maybe they just spend it all on that.
He complimented it. Maybe he does. Maybe he's like, boy, this guy leveraged a lot to get that Rolex. Anyhow, Sylvester Stallone wants to part with all of his beloved watches, or at least a lot of his beloved watches. Says he's auctioning off 11 of these timepieces from his collection at Sotheby's. Now, I've heard of Sotheby's a million times. Mm-hmm. No one's ever invited me, but I think we should go. I think we should go to Sotheby's.
How much are the watches?
Well, let's just see here. It says what's sure to draw interest in the forthcoming sale. He's got a Grandmaster chime. See, I don't know what this stuff is. Out of my price range. It sold for a whopping $31 million.
Wow.
That's out of my price range. I mean, you could make it happen, but then it's like, do you need it? Right. So, he's got a Grandmaster chime that has a price that's estimated between $2.5 million to $5 million. They say it's likely to climb north of that, though. So we're talking about stuff that's in the millions. Now, he also says that he had this or developed this watch addiction because of another celebrity. A celebrity that you wouldn't think would be the celebrity that got him into watches. If you're like, hey, who got Stallone into watches? It's a celebrity. Even if you narrowed it down and said it's a rock star. Oh, a rock star. Okay.
It's not his brother Frank.
Nope. I'd be like, no, Frank's probably stealing watches from his collection. That was mine. Nuh-uh. This is probably the last guy I would think. But Stallone's posted some videos about this sale.
I started collecting when I finally came into some money. I just finished Rocky. And there was Greg Allman. And I guess he was very tired, so his arm was hanging in the aisle. And on his wrist was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. When I finally got a few bucks together, I went out and bought this gold Submariner. And that was the beginning of my love affair for Rolex watches in general. Thank you, Greg Allman, for sleeping and hanging your arm in the aisle. It changed my whole trajectory. You've cost me a fortune.
Okay. Is Greg Allman the one that donated his sperm?
No, that's David Crosby. Greg Allman was married to Cher.
But they're brothers?
No.
No.
I thought they were the brothers.
David Crosby was in Crosby, Stills, Nash.
And Greg Allman's brother is...
But what about Dwayne Allman? What about that's the Allman brothers?
The Allman brothers. It was Greg and Dwayne.
They're brothers, right?
Greg and Dwayne are brothers.
Did one of them play keyboards? Tall guy with blonde hair?
Sure.
What was their
tall
band?
Tall guy with blonde hair
Allman brothers?
Greg.
Which group was bigger, the Allman brothers or Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young?
Close.
Which group is bigger, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, or Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Young.
With Young, they were more successful?
Right.
I don't know.
Which is bigger, Neil Young solo or any of those other guys solo?
Neil Young.
Either of Crosby, Stills, or Nash?
The Allman Brothers,
Neil Young,
any of them.
Himself. Oh, yeah,
any of those
Greg
guys.
Allman, Neil Young's bigger than all of them. Greg Allman had a pop hit.
Wasn't David Crosby popular?
Not like Neil Young.
It's hard to imagine that.
Allman did have some pop hits in the 80s when he was dating Cher.
It's just so, you know, these baby boomers that were like, and now I'm back to the baby boomer thing, but it's like, you know, the hippie movement, peace and love. We don't need expensive things. Hell, we don't even need to change a clothes or a shower. And you have this whole, you know, the generation of music that comes from that. And these guys, as soon as they got money, like,
I'm no
$5
angel.
$5 million watches. Huh?
That was the Greg Allman song that was a hit.
Boom. Where were you on that, Snow Cone?
Yeah.
You need to read up. You have a library card. You're supposed to know the classic rock stuff.
Right? Well, yeah.
I need to
know Greg Allman.
Who is bigger, you know?
I just told you.
Who did Greg Allman deliver sperm to? Or donate
no, David
sperm
Crosby
to?
Gave it to Melissa Etheridge.
But then didn't Allman get jealous? Allman get jealous and say, I'm going
to
give mine.
I think he donated sperm to Cher.
So he had sex with Cher?
Yeah, a lot.
Like what era? 70s?
The hot era, Cher.
Well, that's like a long era.
I know, but like, yeah, the 70s and 80s, I think.
Wow, okay. Well, anyway, do you want some of these $1 million watches or not? Laszlo, there's 11 of them for sale. We got to go to Sotheby's. You don't have to go. You can call.
I'm good.
You can be a phone.
I got a watch.
Whatever. You can call on the phone and make a bid.
I got a watch. Are we done?
This is like when you went gambling, and they ask for your ID at the end, you know, when you go to cash out. You buy the watch, and then when they ask for the money, you say, yeah, it's coming. Just take it. Snow Cone will know what to do.
Yep, I
He'll
got
just
it.
Act like he's, we're wiring the money. Just hand me the watch. It's on the way. He'll figure it out. I think, though, Sylvester Stallone
really
is in trouble, Laszlo. I think he's in trouble. I know you say you think he just wanted to move to New York.
He's
sold
fine.
His house to What's-Her-Face, and that is not okay.
Look,
and now
if he's
selling his watches.
One watch at south of $2.5 million, if he's not fine right now, he's going to be.
But for how long? Where's all this money going? Are his daughters ripping him off? I'm worried about him, Laszlo.
He's fine. I got to pee.
77 years old.
I got to pee.
Go pee. We'll see you tomorrow.
Are we done?
I think so.
Yeah,
it's the end of the day,
good
right?
Good show, Greg Allman. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.